Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
I say, no, that's just Bible. And I think when I read my Bible, I read about the Apostle Paul, and they were probably saying that to him. You know, you're a little old school, Paul, but Paul, at 25 years after the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, 25 years later, he runs into believers in Acts chapter 19, and he says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" He was concerned that all believers were filled with the Holy Ghost, and I believe that we still need to be concerned about people being filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that we need to talk about the qualities or what a typical Spirit-filled Christian looks like. But I want us to read tonight Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." You shall be witnesses. You shall receive power. So really tonight, I believe Jesus said that you would receive power. And you say, well, is it necessary for me to be filled? We read over in Ephesians chapter 5, if you go to verse 18, it says there, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The verse prior to that says, "This is the will of God concerning you." So we would say that you ought not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. And I'm going to take it further. I think you ought not be drunk with wine, Coors, Chivas Regal, Crown Royal, Jack Daniels, Budweiser, Busch, Jose Cuervo. Maybe I should stop there. You might think I know too many. But he says that you should be filled with the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit is not optional for the believer. It's really essential. And it's not a denominational label tonight, but it's the supernatural power of God living in you. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 19, I want to look there. It says, "Through mighty signs and wonders." Anybody okay if I take a drink? "But not with wine." Where in his excess. "But water where in his excess. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Now, Paul says that when he preached, there would be mighty signs and wonders. So it seems to me that this Bible here, that we would say that if we don't have mighty signs and wonders, we have not fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now that's a little strong, but I'm going to stick with the Bible over what we think. He says that through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul is saying, because he confirmed his word with signs following, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now let's read over in John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse number 16 says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Now, there's several things I want to leave that up for a minute. But he says, "I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Now, the word comforter, we read in another place, he said the comforter is the Holy Ghost. "I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Now, let's go with that word forever. It does not stop. I have a friend of mine that I grew up with in Woodward, Oklahoma. Matter of fact, his grandfather was the pastor of the First Assembly before my dad took the church. All right? His name was Nicholson. Brother Nicholson preached there for 15 years before my dad. I only remember meeting him a couple of times, but his daughter was the organist and the choir director at the church. Her name was Jan Wilson. Her brother would be Dwayne Nicholson. Dwayne sang with a group called the Couriers. If you watch the Gospel Jubilee, the courier sang on there. Somebody and I were talking about Big John Hall and the Gospel Jubilee and some of that, but the couriers, one of their great tenor singers was from Woodward, Oklahoma. Now, anyway, the pastor that was before my dad, his grandson, is now a pastor in West Virginia. And he's been my friend. He's 1 year older than me. We've been friends since I've been 4 years old. So I preached for him once a year, and we were talking, and we were talking about his grandfather. Before his grandfather died, his grandfather got Alzheimer's, all right, which is a horrible disease, all right? I had a grandmother that had it. I had two uncles that had it. I mean, you know, so we're familiar with the devil is a liar. I hate him worse every day, all right? I believe the devil brings sickness. The two gifts he brings to humanity is sickness and poverty, and I hate the devil. Are you understanding me? So, anyway, he was talking about his grandfather, and he finally got so bad they had to put him in a home. Because sometimes when you get Alzheimer's, my grandmother stayed in our home my mom and dad's home a long time, but it finally got to the point it was very difficult. I don't know, you know, and those are hard decisions for families, and we hated our decision. And matter of fact, we think we made the decision because all the family said, well, you live so far away, we can never see her. So they put her in a home near the rest of the family, and then they never go see her. They need the fivefold ministry. All right, but anyway, he said we would go visit him, and he wouldn't really even remember anybody's name too much. But after they would leave, one of the nurses came and said to my friend, the pastor in West Virginia, the grandson, does your grandfather know any other language? He said, what do you mean? She said, well, when you guys leave, he gets down on his knees and he prays, but he doesn't pray in English. The Holy Ghost will abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost will abide with you forever. I don't know, but I think that's quite interesting. But he said, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, we're talking about the qualities of a spirit-filled believer, but yet let's look at that verse. Really, the verse says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another one just like me. Now, think about that for a minute. When Jesus was on this earth for 3.5 years, he met everybody's needs. Everybody he was with, he would feed them. He had 12 disciples. Some of them were married. And you don't see anywhere in the Bible where any of the disciples' wives came to Jesus and said, look, we were better off when we were fishing. I want my husband to go back fishing. You don't see any of that there. I'm telling you, if there would have been a woman that was not happy, it would have shown up in the Bible. Thank you. Now listen, here you got Jesus even healed somebody's mother-in-law. Maybe the only mistake Jesus ever made. All right, just a joke. Everybody okay? I'm digging a big hole up here. Oh, listen, there are no refunds on your offer. This is not Walmart. Okay, now listen. I'm joking around too much. But he said, I'm going to give you another one just like me. Now here, when he went away, when he was caught up into heaven, the angel said, this same Jesus that you see going away, he will come again in like manner. But they still are sitting there going, this is the guy that took care of us. He told over 500 people to tarry in the city of Jerusalem to be filled with the Spirit, but only 120 showed up. So not everybody believed what he said, but they're dealing with a lot of stuff. He died, and they thought he was going to take over politically. They didn't quite catch what's still happening. But yet he said, go to Jerusalem, you'll receive power, and then they begin to remember. He said, I'm going to give you another one just like me. Now, something happened there. I don't know if I've ever done this illustration here, but I do it a lot. Anybody got a $20 bill? I'm not going to take it from you. Anybody got one right now? I got one back here. I need you to bring it up here. Will you bring it? Come on. I need you to be like a spokesperson on The Price is Right. So that's the most Pentecostal show on television. All right, now hold out your 20. I got one too. Now, look at mine first. Does mine look pretty good to you? Back looks pretty much like yours. Turn yours around. Show everybody. So you think this one, now, it's the same as yours. Not numbers-wise, but worth the same amount. Okay. Would you trade me? Trade me. Or did you lose anything? When Jesus went away, he said, I'm going to give you another comforter. We didn't lose anything. Matter of fact, be blessed tonight. Take that extra 20. But listen. You just don't worry about it right now. I like how this is working out. You're messing up my illustration. But I don't have time to fight with you, all right? When people start giving me money, I don't fight. All right, but anyway, but you get the point here. When we traded, we did not lose anything. When Jesus went away, we actually received the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to give you another comforter that is just like me. So we need to believe the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus did. And he said in verse number 7 of John 16, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So he's gone, and now he sends the other comforter. He was the first comforter. Now we have the comforter, the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe a typical spirit-filled believer, number one, is full of power. A spirit-filled Christian is full of power. I believe the first evidence of a spirit-filled life is power. It's not just bold preaching, but power to overcome sin, power to live holy, power to cast out devils, power to lay hands on the sick. Jesus said, you will receive power. That is the word there. Dunamis. It's dynamite. It's explosive power. Not feelings, not goosebumps, but power. Power to break addiction. Power to forgive. Power to live pure and holy in a wicked world. I'm telling you, I know that we have the same Holy Ghost that they had at the beginning, but somehow, I don't know what's happened in our churches, but we need to understand we got the same power. One of my friends, he passed away during the corona time, but his dad pastored Calvary Temple in Evansville, Indiana. At the time, that church was one of the greatest churches in America. And Jimmy Swaggart had a massive revival there that the church just blew up in attendance back many, many years ago, before Jimmy was big on TV. He was still preaching in local churches. But Brother Vibbert was his name. Hansel Vibbert was a drunk. And there was a church in Indiana that there was a little town that didn't have anything but a gas station and a Church of God and an Assemblies of God church. They backed up to each other out in the country. And Brother Vibbert somehow got to church that night, and he happened to walk in the Assemblies of God church pastored by two women. All right? The two women were there. There was not another person in the church that night. They were going to close the doors down because nobody was there. But that night, the women went ahead and preached because they had one person there, and he was drunk. But he walked down that aisle and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and became one of the greatest Assemblies of God ministers that we've ever had. Now, I'm telling you something. That's because there's power to break addiction. Are you understanding? Enemy, power to live pure in a holy, in an unholy, wicked world. Power to forgive. See, spirit-filled Christians walk in power. We do not run from demons, we cast them out. We don't blend in with the world, but we change it. Somebody say amen. We receive power. We receive mountain-moving, devil-chasing, chain-breaking, Holy Ghost power. We ought to be loaded with power. Somebody say, I'm loaded with power. Come on, say it with me again. I'm loaded with power. Number two, what's a typical Spirit-filled Christian look like? A Spirit-filled Christian has boldness. Said in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now let's back that up a little bit. This begins in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going to the temple to pray. At 3 in the afternoon, they run on the man that's lame there, that's wanting a handout. If you go to many third world nations, you go to the city square where the Catholic Church is, there's always beggars there because they feel like, you know, if somebody's going to pray somewhere, they might throw some change at you. All right? But you got to, here's what you do. You do an illustration about a $20 bill. That's how you get some money thrown at you. Just kidding around. But here they are. This man's wanting a handout, but they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. That lame man, when they reached down, grabbed him by the hand, immediately his ankle bones and feet received strength. He went walking and leaping and praising God in the temple, but it got them thrown into jail because they didn't want them to speak in the name of Jesus. They said, by what power? It's Holy Ghost power. By what power or by what name have you done this? And here's what they did. They used, I'm going to use some good oaky English right here. They said, the man you killed, he ain't dead. How many know the man that they killed, he's not dead, he's alive. And they threatened them and they told them, don't speak in that name anymore. But what did they do? They went to their own company. They didn't say, hey, I'm afraid of them. You know, we ought to obey the government. I believe you ought to obey, but I'm telling you sometimes that I'm going to stay, it's better to obey God than man. Can I get an amen in here? Somebody getting afraid now. But if somebody tells you to go into the Capitol and they got horns on their head, don't follow. I'm preaching better than your amen in here. But they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the place was shaken where they were assembled. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need to get to the place where we pray and we're not afraid, but we pray with boldness. They were filled with boldness. Now, when you read throughout the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament, when you read about the church, when you read about them, they say they were born of the Spirit. They say they're filled with the Spirit. But when they were filled with the Spirit, they always seemed to have boldness go with it. They spake the word of God with boldness. They preached boldly in the name of Jesus. They spake boldly in the name of Jesus. And somehow we say we are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, but we're missing boldness. Peter went from denying Jesus to preaching to thousands. Why? Because he got filled with power. Spirit-filled Christians don't compromise. They don't bow to pressure. They don't apologize for the gospel. They stand up and they say, thus saith the Lord. How many know that if I go by a fan, it's to cool down a room, it doesn't become powerful because it looks good. How many know there's some pretty fans? You can get the fan that fits in the corner and nobody knows it's a fan or whatever, but it's not powerful until it's plugged in. The Holy Ghost is heaven's outlet. And when we get plugged in, there's boldness. Why Christians are cowards? They worry about what everybody else is thinking. And I'm going to tell you, I may even say why Christians are cowards. If you're a coward, you're probably already not a Christian, because in Revelation, the 21st chapter, it says that the unbelieving and fearful are on the same list with the whoremonger and the murderer that have their place in the lake of fire. Wow. I didn't mean to have so much vinegar in me tonight. I preached a nice little happy message last night. But the truth is, why don't we just believe that in the last days that you will prophesy? He said in the last days that your sons and daughters would prophesy. Why don't we just stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. Listen, I believe as a believer, the enemy better be careful because of what you carry. I believe. See, I don't know what you think, but we had one of the greatest years we've ever had. We had our greatest year soul winning in 2025. And then we had some things happen. Lori's got a torn ACL right now, all right? Then we got a grandbaby that's got leukemia. But I'm going to tell you something. I just know it's the enemy. He better watch out. All right? He stirred something up in me. I'm going to tell you, you know, when I used to preach a lot longer revivals, I would pray over every child during that meeting. And I'd bring, if they had them in children's church, I'd pray, Lord, that not one of them will rise up to be homosexual or lesbian, that not one of them will be molested, that they won't be bound by drugs, won't be bound by alcohol. But now we got so small a church services, you know, I don't have time to do all those things. But I'm going to tell you, I'm coming back with a vengeance. The devil is a liar. Are you understanding me? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not putting up with it, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm not taking it at sitting back. Are you understanding me? I don't know how people can be passive, but if somebody puts their finger in my chest, I'm getting in their face. You say, oh, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Well, you can have your little dope-smoking, Rastafarian Jesus if you want, but I like the one that whips people in church. You remember that story. He cleaned the church out. You say, oh, that's the temple. Whatever. But as a believer, the enemy better be careful because of what you carry. One of my heroes, Vincent Idahosa, he said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon a man, he becomes a terror to the kingdom of darkness. I don't know, but I think tonight that you and I, we are loaded with power. Say, I'm loaded with power. Now say, I'm loaded with boldness. Let me tell you something else. A spirit-filled Christian speaks a new language. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there's some of these young guys that I get around, and they say, well, we just don't believe that tongues is the initial physical evidence. Well, initial does not mean only, knucklehead, cabbage for brains. That's not what initial means. It means first. It doesn't mean only. But we believe you'll still speak in tongues. But we understand that some people say, well, I don't understand tongues. Tongues seems weird. No, it's biblical. Tongues is not extra. It's evidence. And when the Holy Ghost fills a believer, he doesn't just shake us, but he speaks through us. Think about this for a minute. I was preaching in Virginia. I was in my third week of revival. We're having a lot of people saved, one night, the youth pastor came up to me and said, hey, can you meet me for breakfast in the morning? I said, sure. And I met him for breakfast, and when I walked in, it was him, the youth pastor, the college pastor, and the children's pastor were waiting. And when I walked in, the youth pastor stood up and pointed at me and said, the problem with you, we're in the third week of revival. He said, the problem with you, how many know that that's not in Dale Carnegie's book on how to win friends and influence people. The problem, when you start a conversation like that, it's going downhill fast. The problem with you, he said, the problem with you is we all think you speak in tongues too much. That's what they all said. I said, all right. I said, the problem with you is you don't know your Bible. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm not speaking to men, I'm speaking to God. So I told them, when I speak in tongues, I'm not talking to them, I'm talking to God. So I don't care what you think. I said, and second of all of you just got out of Bible school about 6 months ago. You've overstepped yourself today. I said, I don't know what you pipsqueaks think. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be Assemblies of God, you're going to be Church of God, you're going to be Pentecostal Holiness, you're going to be Foursquare, you're going to be Independent Charismatic, I'm going to tell you, there are going to be people that speak in tongues. And if you don't like it, there's plenty of places that you can go that they don't believe in it. I said, now I'm going back to the church and I'm going to caring on all of you. I'm telling on all of you. And I hope you get fired. You say, that's pretty rough. Folks, I'm telling you, I love the Holy Ghost. I don't like to be around people that put him down. I need him more. I don't need him less. We need him more in church. Are you understanding me? Spirit-filled Christians pray in tongues, worship in tongues. We war in tongues. We edify ourselves in the Spirit. We receive the Holy Ghost in fire, and you and I should be loaded with fire. Say, I'm loaded with power. I'm loaded with boldness, and I'm loaded with fire. Number four, a Spirit-filled Christian is led by the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Spirit-filled believers don't just have the Spirit, but they follow the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the Christian's GPS. How many understand? In my car, I have GPS on the dash. I got GPS on my phone. I usually run it off my phone, because I'm too cheap to upgrade my dash. But then I got Lori, the other GPS, sitting next to me. Are you understanding me? She's not here to defend herself. But she'd be holding up her fingers like this, whatever. I could see her. She'd do that to me. But it's been working 34 years. It's probably going to make it. We probably made it. The first 15 years we were married, I was only home 5 of those years because I was gone all the time preaching. So that might have been how we made it through the first 15. Because I sometimes have to live with myself and I don't even like it. Where was I? GPS. But the Holy Ghost is our GPS. The Holy Ghost is what he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I don't know. I know I've told the story here, but I'm going to tell it tonight again. Because I told Pastor, I'm just going to tell some stories again. I don't even care what people think. My favorite preacher tells his same one over and over, and I still love it. Sometimes I think I could tell it better than him. Truth is, in 2010, I went to Haiti, and I'd only been there one other time, and I flew in with another preacher. He's the district superintendent of Indiana, and his name is Chad McAtee. Chad and I were on the plane together. We flew into Port-au-Prince. We were supposed to take a small flight over the mountains to go up north in Haiti. And you got to go to another desk to get another flight. And we went to the desk. And when we got there, they said, Mr. Eccles, your flight has been canceled. And there's rain so much up in the north that water's up to your knee on the runway. We cannot land the plane. I said, well, what are we going to do? They said, well, come back tomorrow. Maybe you can fly tomorrow. So I'd never been to Haiti, but one time, I only know two people. I know my interpreter. And I also know a pastor up in the north that I'm going to be doing the crusade with. And but I had stayed in Port-au-Prince once. And so we're going to walk out. He said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to stay at a missions guest house called Walls Guest House. And so we're walking out. And as we're walking out, there's another guy that we know he's not Haitian. He looked like us. Everybody get that? This is not, you know, this isn't profiling. I just knew. Didn't have to have a word of knowledge that he wasn't Haitian. All right? So I'm walking out, and this guy looks at me. He said, were you on that flight that they canceled? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm on that flight. He said, I've never been to Haiti. I don't know what to do. He said, what are you guys going to do? I said, well, you know, we're going to get a place to stay. He said, well, I work for Royal Caribbean. I'm an underwater scuba diving welder. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, just come with us. All right? So he gets in the taxi with us, and we're on our way to Wall's guest house, and on the way there, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many know what the word led there? It doesn't mean bam. I mean, if we were led by the Spirit that way, we'd all come to church bruised and beat up every service. But led there means gently led. I heard a little voice. That's it. You hear that voice a lot. Don't buy something. Don't go there. Don't do this. We need to be obedient to those things. Or do this. Don't do this. Okay? But I heard it. I heard it. And so I lean up to the driver and I said, look, we're not going to stay at Walls Guest House. He said, where do you want to go? I only had been to one other place in Port-au-Prince, a place called Visa Lodge. And I ate a meal there and I didn't die. That's a good place to go in Haiti. Okay? I said, take us to Visa Lodge. So we get there, and we get to the desk, and there's a lady behind the desk. I said, well, hey, could we have three rooms, please? She said, sir, we're all booked up. All we got is one room with three beds. I got my friend that's the district superintendent. I'm okay to stay in a room with him. But I got this guy we don't know. So what do? I begin to judge him. You know, church people say, oh, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. That's Christians shouldn't judge. That is baloney. Everybody in here judges. You don't eat at every restaurant in Amarillo. Why? You're judging. If the cook looks like he's got hepatitis, I do not eat there. Do you let your kids play with everybody when they were growing up? Oh, you were judging. Actually, the Bible says that if you're spiritual, you should judge. I look over him and I'm judging him because I'm thinking, we're going to share a room. Now, we're not sharing a bed. I'm not even sharing a bed with the district superintendent. Are you understanding? But we're sharing a room. I noticed he was judging me. He probably knew what kind of coffee I drink. If you weren't here last night, you don't know what I'm talking about. I said, well, I look at him, I said, it's cool with me if it's cool with you. He said, well, I don't have any other choice. I said, well, that's it. Let's do it. We got the room. I called my friends up in the north. They said, yeah, the water's so high in the field where we were having the crusade, we're not going to be able to have it until it goes down. But we think it's going to be all right. They called the district, the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God of Haiti, Calixte Florador, and they said, I'll be there at 5 o'clock to pick you guys up to take you to the biggest Haitian Assemblies of God church in the country. You'll preach there tonight. I got it worked out. So we're going to do something. So we're up in the room getting ready, and the guy that's the Royal Caribbean guy, he said, well, I guess I'm going with you guys tonight. I'm like, yeah, great. This guy's getting saved tonight. That's what. So we go out, and we're sitting outside waiting for our ride, and at 4:35, we're sitting in a chair. I'm reading a T.L. Osborne book. The district superintendent's reading the Bible. The other guy's just sitting over there, just kind of soaking in the sun a little bit, waiting. 4:35, the ground starts shaking violently. Like the concrete moves like a snake. I grab my chair and immediately begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, in tongues. My friend is praying in tongues immediately. Our new friend, he's praying in some tongues, but I don't need an interpreter. I've heard those words before. Are you understanding me? It only lasted 35 seconds, but it emptied out that pool of water in 35 seconds. And all over the city, you could, smoke was going up. We were kind of sitting on a hill. We could see out. And there'd be like two buildings down, one on fire, three buildings up, and we didn't know what to do. So I said, man, let's get up. We need to try to help people. And the ground's still, you know, they're having tremors. It's weird, man. I'd rather have been in an Oklahoma tornado. You know what we do in Oklahoma? We stand out and look until it hits your house, right? At least you know when it's coming and when it goes, all right? So we go out. The problem was we didn't have a shovel. We didn't have a forklift. Didn't have a crowbar. Didn't have a bulldozer. Because a place like this, the whole thing came down in one piece. And you could hear people screaming. It was the craziest day of my life. All right? It got dark really fast because I don't know, they just gets dark there sooner than it does here. They don't do daylight savings and all that, and it's really got dark pretty quick. We went back to the hotel, and we were just sitting in the parking lot, didn't know what we were going to do. I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, walking around. And the Bible says there's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I never got to joy, but I began to have some peace. Matter of fact, I turned on my cell phone. I had my cell phone, and my cell phone worked. There's about 100 and some. All the employees of the airport came over to that. If there was a disaster, that parking lot of that hotel was the place where everybody met. My phone was the only phone out of all those people that worked, and everybody was texting. I texted my wife. I said, "It's terrible, but I'm okay." She read it and thought, you know, Haiti's terrible. You know, she didn't even know there was an earthquake. About 10 o'clock that night, she began to get calls from my friends. "You know they had a bad earthquake in Haiti." She said, "Maybe that's what Doug meant. He said it was bad, but he said he's okay." So that's all she got. And then my phone quit working. But I prayed all night. A man came up to me from the Dominican Republic in the middle of the night. He said, "I hear you're a preacher." He said, "The Lord told me to take care of you." I said, "Okay." I didn't know what that meant, but I was like, he said, I want to take care of you, preacher. That's all. I'm like, next morning when it got light, there's a bunch of people. We had 14 people that weren't with me. I only had one guy with me plus the Royal Caribbean guy. 14 people said, "We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do what you do, preacher." I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Well," we walked out in the street, out of the compound we were in, and there were hundreds of dead bodies laying along the road. Some of them covered, some of them bloody, some of them, you know, it was a horrific thing. And I've never asked the Lord to take it out of my mind. I'm going to tell you why in a little bit. I sometimes even wake up in the middle of the night and just see it. It's like you'd call it a nightmare, but it makes me realize I'm a debtor to the people of Haiti. 300,000 people died. I'm alive. Now, you say, what happened? That night when the earthquake took place, we were supposed to be at Wall's guest house. That place collapsed. 5 people died, 2 Americans, 2 Canadians, 1 Haitian. I don't know where I'd have been, but I will tell you, I'm glad I didn't go there. I was led by the Spirit of God. How many know we are led by the Spirit of God? We are led by the Spirit of God. Now, I didn't see that Dominican guy. He said he's going to take care of me. I just already blown, you know. I've had so many people promise me stuff. Or, you know, if you promise me money, I don't, until it's in my hand, I don't count it. Because I'd be a millionaire by now. "When my ship comes in, preacher, I'm going to really help you do something." Well, their ship never comes, evidently, or they forgot about me. So I don't count. So I forgot about the Dominican. About that time, that guy pulls up in a Chevy Colorado, okay? That's not a big truck. It's a, you know, the small Chevy, but it was a 4-door. He said, "Get in." He said, "I went over tried to go over the mountains to go to Dominican to see if the road was okay," but he said, "Boulders have come off the mountain, blocked the road." He said, "I think we can go down the south way, down by the ocean, and we can get back into Dominican Republic." I said, "I got 14 people." He said, "Get them all in the truck." Some of the women got up front with a couple of kids, and I got in the back, and we had our luggage there. And as we're leaving, a young man about 20 years old, looked like a Haitian, jumped in the back of the truck with a sawed-off shotgun. I didn't know who he was. I'd never seen him. I asked the driver. I said, "You know," he said, "I've never seen him." He didn't say a word, but he rode with us. Now, listen, we're going through town. Should have taken us 20 minutes to get out of Port-au-Prince from where we were at. It took over 3 hours. And they were looting places. They were stealing. They were shooting guns. It was chaos. We all have this color skin, so we stick out like a sore thumb. We stick out like money. All right, I literally had $8,000 in my pants pocket. You say, "Why do I have $8,000? If you're thinking, I don't have it in there tonight. I got 40. Okay, I'm a little light tonight. But But you say, well, they don't take American Express to pay for a water well. They don't take it for a crusade. I had to pay some things. I had cash. I had it in my pant pocket. You say, why do you have it in your pant pocket? Because if somebody's going to steal it, I'm going to fight you for it. All right, you leave it in the room. You don't know if they stole it or not. But if you try to take it out of my pocket, we're going to have a fight. Because you know what? That's when Jesus got upset at the temples when they were trying to steal God's money. You can take that or leave it. I don't care. I'm not the toughest guy in the world, but I will fight. For that reason. Are you understanding? I box twice a week, and they'll tell me, now, Doug, if you do that in a fight, you're going to get knocked out. I said, well, if we get to that point, I'm shooting them. So, there you go. But I'm not joking about either one of those things. Are we in trouble yet, Pastor? We're in West Texas, okay? I'm not in Connecticut here, okay? All right, so anyway, I got that money. When we went out trying to help, I said, you know what? Let's try to get some water. I saw a grocery store that hadn't collapsed. I saw a light in the back. I'm knocking on the window. The guy came, but he wouldn't open the door. I said, Blue, B-L-U is the word for water in Creole. But you got to say it like Pepe Le Pew, you know, Blue. All right? And he shook his head, no. I pulled out $100. I said, Blue. He said, no. I pulled out all the money. I said, I want everything in your grocery store. We're just going to give away your food because we're going to need it. He wouldn't sell me anything for $8,000. Think about that. Some of you wonder when the tribulation takes place why you're going to have to take the mark of the beast to buy or sell. Some of you would have taken the mark of the beast during Corona for Lysol and toilet paper. But I realize when the tribulation takes place, the first half is a lot of things like earthquakes, tsunamis, natural disasters. And I'm going to tell you, some of the prophecy scholars say 3/4 of the world's population will die in the first half of the tribulation. That's the easy part. The great tribulation comes the second half of the tribulation. So you don't want to miss the rapture is what I'm trying to say. You say, why we have to take the mark of the beast? I'm going to tell you, I think I understand why. I never could understand. If you got some money, why people wouldn't take it? Chaos. All right? It's important to be led by the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. We made it to the border of Dominican, and that young man with the sawed-off shotgun disappeared. I don't know. I think I should write a letter to the NRA and tell them in Haiti, angels carry shotguns, sawed off. But I'm going to tell you something. He'll give angels to keep charge over you. Now, here's a little funny. I had a box of hot tamales. You know what those are? Candy, you know, like, I'm starting to eat them. I see the angel guy. He's kind of giving me the eye. I start feeding this angel. Angels like hot tamales. The Bible says you're to entertain them. They might be angels unaware. All right, I'm just joking. I don't know. I can't prove any of that, but I'm going to tell you something. You say, I believe that not only will the Holy Spirit lead you away from trouble, lead you through trouble, but he leads you away from sin. He leads you into ministry. He leads you to witness to the lost. He leads you to give sacrificially. He leads you to pray deeply. He leads you to pray righteously. He tells you where not to go. He tells you who not to trust. He tells you when to move and when to wait. Are you with me here? The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you say you're Spirit-filled but live however you want, you're not full, you're disturbed. A Spirit-filled life is Spirit-led life. Tonight, I'm loaded with power. Say it. I'm loaded with boldness, I'm loaded with fire, and I'm loaded with divine direction. Now don't miss this one, I'm going to close, all right? A Spirit-filled Christian is a soul winner. The purpose of Pentecost is not just to feel the fire, but to take it to the streets. He said, you'll receive power and you shall be witnesses. Understand, we think a witness is the guys that ride around town on their bikes with black pants and white shirts, black ties. I don't know. You know, this is America. We have freedom of religion. I get a little nervous when we, you know, we voted down the Muslims having a mosque in Broken Arrow. And I get a little nervous about that, because if you can shut down the Muslims, then you can shut down Christians. But I'm not afraid of Muslims. I'm not afraid of the Mormons. Are you understanding me? Who'd want to join a group that makes you ride a bike around town anyway? That's all I got to say. Or we think a witness is middle-aged women come in your neighborhood in a minivan and jump out and give out magazines. But that's not really the word witness. The word witness is the word martus in the Greek. M-A-R-T-U-S. We get our English word martyr. Really, Jesus said, you'll receive power and you'll give your life for me. That's what he's saying. He didn't say you'll receive power and feel good, but he said you'll be a witness. If the Holy Ghost has really filled your life, you'll burn for the lost. You'll preach. You'll testify. You'll weep for souls. You'll lay hands and evangelize everywhere you go. How many know the Spirit of God doesn't just make you emotional, but it makes you evangelistic? If what you have is real, it's going to spread. The Bible, let's get back to it. It says winning souls makes you wise. We used to think that if you had gray hair, it makes you wise. Well, I got gray hair. That's not what makes any of us wise. A soul winner is a wise person. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel. Have we forgotten that when you read the Bible, salvation is called great? Neglect not so great salvation. We sometimes think, oh, I've heard that. About Jesus dying on the cross, I've heard. But there are people need to hear it again. Your pastor, he heard it as a boy. He heard it growing up. But man, one day, the guy, you know, invited him to church, and the evangelist preached it again. Somebody needs to hear. Somebody needs to hear. I was on the plane going to Honduras, sitting by a lady, and you know, somehow we got talking. I'll make a long story short because I've been going too long already, but she says, oh, why are you going to Honduras? I said, I'm going to be down there feeding the hungry and preaching the gospel. She said, do you know anything about this? She said, I heard a preacher on TV say you could know that when you die, you go to heaven. Ready. Man, I'm like, I'm reeling this baby in, and it's not breaking the line. Are you understanding me? She said, do you know anything about that? He said that he used the word, you know, you can be saved. She said, you know anything about that? I was like, man, this is the greatest day. I was tired. I got up like at 4 a.m. to catch that flight, but I'm telling you, now I'm awake. I'm ready to go. I start talking to her. I said, while you're yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He took your place. He took your guilt. He took your sin. His precious blood was shed for you, and that blood will cleanse you from every sin, and you give your heart to the Lord Jesus. You got to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. I said, you want to get saved right here? She said, right here? You don't have to do that at a synagogue or a church or something. I said, no, you can do it right here. I said, but you can't be ashamed. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm going to have you pray with me, but you got to believe what you pray, but you got to say it out loud. She looked around the plane. She said, well, nobody speaks English on this plane anyway. Who cares what they think? She prayed the sinner's prayer with me. When she was done, tears were running down her face, and she looked at me and she said, do you think my husband could get saved too? Oops, I don't. This is in Connecticut. The Hartford Airport is really Springfield, Massachusetts. You know, they think they got these big states. They don't even understand. You can fit all of New England in Texas. All right, and if Texas secedes from the nation, I'm for it. I'm asking Oklahoma to join, all right? Will you take us? Well, then you won't have much of a football team. That's all. lesson there. But listen, what are we talking about? That woman. We sometimes think nobody wants to hear. We think nobody. I'm at the airport at LaGuardia. My luggage is not coming around. I see one that looks like mine, but it's new. Mine is beat up. But it's the same piece of luggage, all right? Same brand, guaranteed for life. I've had four of them in 20 years, all right? Because it gets torn up. And it keeps going around. And so I'm just like, the lady walks up. She's got a Georgia Bulldog shirt on. I said, and they were playing right then. I'd been looking at my phone, ESPN app, and they were playing. I said, oh, you're a Georgia Bulldog fan. She said, well, my daughter goes to school there. And I said, well, oh, cool. She goes, you're not from here. You got an accent. I said, yeah, I'm from Oklahoma. She said, her husband pops up, and he said, what are you doing up here? I said, well, I'm preaching in Long Island at the Full Gospel Church in Island Park. He said, I know that church. He said, when we had Hurricane Sandy, they helped everybody because Franklin Graham came in there with Samaritan's Purse, and that was their headquarters, was the Assembly of God Church in Island Park. And I preached there all the time. He said, that's a great place. They helped everybody. And I was like, praise the Lord. He said, what are you going to preach on tomorrow? I said, well, I'm preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, I've been wanting to know about the Holy Ghost. I start talking about the Holy Ghost just like I did tonight, telling about the Holy Ghost. I said, you know what the Holy Ghost does? He magnifies Jesus. He testifies of Jesus. He draws people to Jesus. And I said, you know what? If you died, if you go to heaven or hell? He said, I'm not sure about that. I said, well, you know, you can be sure. He gets saved, and he goes to a suitcase and pulls out chocolate. He says, give this to your wife. I said, wife, nothing. Then I go to another restaurant. My favorite place to eat is in Long Island. It's a place called Bigelow's. It's just a little shack that has 15 stools, but they hand-bread clams. I thought clams were supposed to be chewed. They're not. They're supposed to be really nice. And the three boys that run it they're the owners. They always want to talk to me, and we talk politics and all kinds of stuff. And when I start talking, everybody stops because my voice, you know, I have an accent. I can't help it. And one guy says, why are you here? I said, well, I'm preaching over at the Full Gospel Church in Island Park. He said, I knew there's something different about you. He said, would you pray for me? We're in Long Island, people. We're in New York. Are you understanding me? We got to quit qualifying everybody and say, well, but nobody wants to hear about Jesus. I think everybody needs to hear about Jesus. I don't even care if you don't want to hear about Jesus. You need to hear about Jesus. You need to get on people's last nerves talking about Jesus. The first group Jesus chose to follow him, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And then the last group who followed him out to his ascension, they received this command. Go therefore teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, is he with us if we're not going? We like to take low. He's with me always. But we're taking it out of that verse. He said, go into all the world. I'll be with you always when you go into all the world. Somebody said, well, I don't like what you're preaching. Well, I'm an evangelist. I'm not a diplomat tonight. This isn't The View tonight with five bitter women. Are you understanding me? And everybody has got an opinion. Let's go with what the Word of God says. Let me tell you what A.W. Tozer said. He's a great man of God. A lot of good books he wrote and made an impact on a lot of people. You might not like what he said, but he said there are only two types of Christians, soul winners and backsliders. Wow. That hurts. So what am I saying to you? You need to talk about Jesus. You need to pray for strangers. You need to cry over the lost. You need to disturb somebody's comfort over eternity. Do you what that means? That means, well, I don't think they'd want to hear about Jesus. Well, I'm going to disturb them about him anyway. Listen, somebody said, well, you know, your granddaughter, she's got leukemia, so you can witness to all those people. I drove by St. Jude's 50 times in my life and never felt like going in there to witness, but I should have. But what the devil's meant for bad, God's going to turn for good. I'm going to tell you, it is a place full of people that need prayer. You walk into the hospital, nobody turns down prayer. You know what? When you're dying, nobody acts like they're an atheist and refuses prayer. Oh, I don't believe in God. I got cancer in the fourth stage. Nobody says, I don't believe in God. Well, go ahead. It might work. But tonight, I'm loaded with power. I'm loaded with boldness. I'm loaded with fire. I'm loaded with divine direction. And we ought to be loaded with the gospel. Amen. Stand your feet. Come on. I don't know about you, but I refuse to be empty. I will be full. I will not be weak. I'm loaded with power. I'm not ashamed. I'm loaded with boldness. I'm not prayerless. I'm loaded with fire. I'm not confused. I'm led by the Spirit. I'm not silent. I'm a witness. Are we a typical Spirit-filled Christian of the book of Acts, or have we become a typical Spirit-filled Christian of 2026? Ask yourself tonight. Once you bow your heads, close your eyes all over this building. Tonight, maybe you've been a little dry. Maybe you've been religious, but you've been powerless. Maybe you've never been filled. Maybe you've never even been saved. You know, the prerequisite to being filled with the Spirit is to be saved. He said in John 7, in verse 37 and 38, when he's talking about out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, he said, thus spake he that those that believe should receive. That if you're a believer, you should receive the Holy Spirit. When he said that the promise of the Spirit was for the 3,000 that got saved that day, and then it was for their children and to all that are far off, that included us. But because of Acts chapter 10, because 120 got filled, then you and I ought to be filled. He's no respecter of persons. We read in Ephesians 5 that we ought to be filled with the Spirit. But you're going to have to be a believer to be filled. Tonight, if you're not where you should be with God, your life is in a mess, maybe you got sin in your life, or you're just not sure you're ready to meet God, you need to get yourself ready. You need to get yourself ready tonight. The Bible says you must be born again. And if you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, and you want to be forgiven tonight, you say, preacher, I'm not where I should be with the Lord. I want to surrender my life to the Lord, and I want to be forgiven. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand and say, I need your prayer tonight. Is there anybody in this place tonight? I don't want to miss anybody, but I want you to hear me. All right. How many tonight would say this? I know I'm a believer. I'm saved. And listen, only the blood of Jesus gets you to heaven. I'm thankful for that. The Holy Spirit helps you have victory on the way to heaven.